Angie Austin and Mike Opelka. Better for you than a whole box of sugar-coated unicorns.
Angie Austin, Mike Opelka here. We have some of the, I would say, kind of weird news, the creepy news. And so in honor of that, Mike, you know, has created just, he's amazing. He's very talented. I mean, you might not like him on the air, but boy, can this guy create some really cool things. And
that's
so
a
this
backhanded
is,
compliment, isn't
no,
it?
Like, no, that's like my aunt. My aunt that always goes, no. It's not necessarily put down. My aunt will say things like, you cut your hair. And I'm like, yeah, I did. She'll be like, why? And then there's the other one. Your uncle thinks that you're chunky, but I said for your jeans, you actually look pretty good considering, you know, your mom.
Yeah, you know, Mike, you don't sweat much for a fat guy.
So anyway, let's play the intro for our creepy news. Is quite possibly one of the creepiest stories I've ever found. And Mike, I sent it to you and I thought, you know, if the circumstances surrounding the story were any different, I wouldn't do it. But this is a legit news story. So they had a mystery pooper who was defecating in the football field. And when they catch the guy, it is a school superintendent exposed as the high school's mystery pooper after defecating on the football field every day in a baffling campaign of terror. Now, I wouldn't call being a mystery pooper a campaign of terror. I don't know that if I'm, you know, catching like a football, I've got the pig skin, I'm running down the field and there's a, you know, mystery pooper has left a package on the field. I wouldn't call that a campaign of terror. Would you?
Well, yes, in some ways I would. There are a lot of details we need to fill in here about the mystery pooper and how long before this is an episode of Law and Order, SVU, Special Victims Unit. Now, where did this happen, first of all, Angie?
Not shockingly, New Jersey. Sorry, New Jersey. But, you know, this is actually, if you said, where would you think that there would be a superintendent, school superintendent, making like 150 grand a year as a mystery pooper? There'd be a couple of states, I would guess.
Wait. You said he's making 150 grand a year as a mystery pooper? Is that the going rate for a mystery pooper is 150 grand a year?
Well, he's now making nothing. No, he's on paid leave. So he is still making 150 grand as a mystery pooper. But here's the thing. If you are the mystery pooper, don't you think that they would put cameras up and you'd eventually get caught? Like, what kind of thrill do you get out of this that you would keep doing it? So he's a school superintendent. His name is Thomas Tramaglini. He's Italian.
Tramaglini.
And he was allegedly caught doing his mystery pooping at the Homedale High School football field in New Jersey.
Homedale? This is in Homedale, New Jersey? I know Homedale. I've been to Homedale. They are the home of the, you know, they're going to be called. The football team is forever going to be called the Poopers. The Homedale Poopers. They're changing the name. If you're playing against Homedale High School in any sport going forward, it's like, yeah, we're taking on the Poopers this weekend. I'd be throwing toilet paper on the field.
No. You know how they have at the baseball games and like the sausage and the bun and the ketchup, they have a race. It'll be like toilet paper and then a plunger and then maybe the mystery pooper. They'll all be in a race to see who wins. They'll be, what is that running down? No, it's toilet paper. It's racing, the plunger. And
the
mystery
pooper. Not today. I'm rooting for the toilet paper. Wipe them out. Wipe them out. This is the craziest story. So they had, how many days in a row did somebody say that the MP had struck?
Well, let me, MP, I like that. Let me just work my way through the story because he's getting up early to do this, by the way. They arrested him at about 5:50 because you got to get up early when it's dark out, you know, before the sun comes up. They arrested him about 5:50 a.m. after he was spotted on surveillance video. Hello, mystery pooper, superintendent guy. They are going to get video out there. School staff, they were finding feces. And, you know, like normally I would just think it was a dog, right? But maybe there was the paper involved with it as well because they figured out that it was, you know, human, and it was near the school's track and the football field every day. His motive has not been determined. It's unclear how long exactly the acts occurred. The superintendent was placed on paid leave from his job as a superintendent, $150,000 a year, paid leave. He faces a charge of defecating in public and charges of lewdness and littering. So maybe he did leave the paper behind, because, you know, like when you go camping, you don't leave anything behind. And kind of the same thing with this. So, yeah, they caught him on. He's 42 years old. And did you see the surveillance photo? Does he look embarrassed? I mean, didn't he know this would be the end result?
You have to believe so. In his heart of hearts, he wanted to get caught. But the mad pooper case, how many days in a row? Didn't it say that at the very beginning? How many days in a row he had done this?
He's married, father of two. How embarrassing for the kids. Okay, is your dad the pooper, the mystery pooper? It just said for some time, a reign of terror, they called it. And it was every day. And it says unclear exactly how long, but long enough that there was a pattern. And, you know, his mugshot looks so different than that, you know, teacher school photo, the one that they do where you have the blue screen behind you and he's got his tie on and he's smiling with just a little bit of stubble on his face. He's actually like a very respectable looking school superintendent.
It's always the ones that look so normal. Now, we've just come out of one of the worst and weirdest winters in the Northeast. So there had to be times when there might have been snow on the football field and there would have been footprints. And why didn't Columbo of Homedale track the footprints? I'm just saying, if this guy's been doing this every day for some time now, and I guess they finally did put in security cameras, the mad pooper has been caught. If you're caught on security cameras, why? Why are the people of Homedale still paying this guy $150,000 a year?
Yeah, he's on paid leave. And, you know, he's a part-time lecturer at Rutgers Graduate School as well, where he made extra money there. And, you know, this isn't a new thing. Within the last 5 years, apparently, the pooping in public is like a new thing. There's in Ohio, they had 19 cases, and they linked it to the bowel movement bandit.
Easy for you to say, the bowel movement bandit.
So there is actually, and they've digitized it so that, you know, you can't see exactly his rear, but they show a man actually with his rear end up on the hood of a car, and Ohio residents, they did finally catch him as well. Because, you know, come on, you know, if you're doing this in the neighborhood on top of people's cars and you're doing it on the hood of their car, they are going to start like looking out the window in the middle of the night, setting up surveillance cameras. I mean, this is something that people will not stand for. And they know that it's not a puppy jumping up there. No Pomeranian can get on the hood of an SUV. So anyway,
no,
they do. I'm going to send you the photo.
A Bernese mountain dog probably could. You know, they're 100 plus pounds. But this is, I was going to try and out creepy you, because we, happy listeners, Angie and I compete to try and find the creepier story of the day. And I don't know if I can out creep you on this. This guy, the mad pooper, who turns out to be a school superintendent, he might. Now, what defense will he use?
I don't know, but you know, the mad pooper, that was in New York, because they have different names for them. There was a co-ed pooper. There was the bowel movement bandit. There was the mad pooper. That was in 2017. That was the woman. And that was in my neck of the woods. That was in Colorado Springs. And she would do that when she was jogging. Remember, she was jogging. And then there was the pooper raider. That one was in January. A jogger terrorized an Arkansas neighborhood by pooping all over it. This is like a thing. This has become a thing. The pooper raider.
I was going to suggest that this be our best segment ever, but I can't. I think this has to be number two. I'm just going to let it be number two, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh, I just got it.
It took a while. It was on satellite delay.
What is wrong with people? What would just make you wake up and go, you know, I just had my Cheerios and I had a little fiber. And I was just thinking I was going to go for a jog, but I want to wear something really easy to get in and out of as I jog through the neighborhood. Because I wanted to, you know, do a number two on the neighbor's Mercedes. What? Who does this?
Well, just the fact that it's a school superintendent doing it every day at the school. I'm not even going to try and compete with that, because I did have a creepy story. Yours wins super creepy story of the day. Play the music for it.
Yeah, we
please.
Should. We should. We should. Can we? Can we do it here?
I guess we can.
Oh, we can. Oh!
Yeah.
Oh,
hey! You're pooper creepy. Pooper creepy. You're pooper creepy.
We need professional help. I'm going to start a GoFundMe for therapy. Angie and Mike, Yes, the Angie Austin and Michael Palka program. Mm-hmm. Lots to talk about. Lava in Hawaii does concern me because I did see, wow, Southwest offering nonstop soon to Hawaii. How exciting is that? And I was like, except for the whole lava flowing through the neighborhood issue.
Have you been to Hawaii?
Yes, it's been a while, but yes.
I've never been. We've never been to Hawaii.
Well, because your wife doesn't like to fly. That's the problem. It's hard to get to Hawaii.
I know.
To fly.
But we have a basic rule. If we're going to fly more than 6 hours, which it's considerably more than that, we want to go where they use different money, speak a different language, and hate Americans, not just hate Americans, because there's a lot of anti-continentalism, I guess you would say, I hear. But I'd love to see it.
It's ridiculous. Just so I mean, Hawaii is so amazing. Why you have to go? No. I don't like this reasoning. Yuck. What?
Yeah.
Oh. I mean, I don't want to get into too many specifics, but I have got to tell you what a little boy looked up in my daughter's classroom. She's 10 and elementary school still. He looked up the word sex, and then also up top. Sometimes people get a blank job, you know. Yeah.
Augmentation. Augmentation.
Yes. Okay. That's it. Because that was on a reality show, and my daughter's like, "What's that? What kind of job is that? Is that a job?" And I'm like, "Well, it's not like a career. I don't know why they call it a job, but anyway." Augmentation. Thank you. I still didn't want to explain it to her. So anyway, he looks up some naughty things and shows it once to my daughter, right? And she said, "That's gross. Stop that." So then I get this email that says a boy in class looked up these two words, sex, and then boobs, and then showed my daughter, and that my daughter is being turned in to the principal, and it may go in her file for inappropriate.
What?
Wait, it gets better. Inappropriate use of technology. And I'm like, wait a second. She's like the victim here. That's like some boy grabs you in the behind and you don't tell the teacher and you're like, you were inappropriately grabbed. It's going to go in your file because you didn't tell anyone. First of all, it was right in class. Like everybody, if she walked right up straight to the teacher, like all of her friends know that she narked on him or whatever. It's kind of uncomfortable. And then she's got to say what she saw, which is super uncomfortable. And then all of a sudden she's in trouble. So my husband, he was kind of worked up over it. I really like the teacher and I really like the principal. So I figured I'd handle it kind of in a more low-key manner. Well, my husband's like, "Hello, this is, you know, the dad. I want to be clear. A boy in your class showed my daughter sex pictures and she didn't tell you and she's being written up. I'd like to say it's not my daughter's responsibility to police inappropriate behavior and technology in your classroom. She was put in an uncomfortable situation and told the boy that he should not be looking at all that stuff. She said, that's gross. Stop it. She mentioned something was going in her file. I'd like to know what she saw and what's being put in her file. I don't want to see what she saw because I have a feeling they'd be pretty awkward to be sitting with the principal and the teacher and my husband and my daughter and then look up sex pictures on the internet, which why is that even allowed to be looked up in the classroom in elementary school?
Yeah, I thought they had filters in all those systems that they wouldn't let that happen. I thought that was why is the school not protecting your child?
There's filters like Facebook and Twitter. They don't want the teachers on that, but apparently you can look up boobs.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know what I would do? Your husband and I being of the same mind on this. I would call that principal and let him know who I was. Say, now this is what happened, right? And the minute he says or he or she says yes, I would say, listen, my child is the innocent victim here. And if you dare tell me that anything negative is going in my child's file, I am going to sue you until you die.
Oh, till death. To
and
death.
Then hang up. And then just hang up the phone and just wait because they'll call back. I guarantee you.
I kind of want, my husband's like doing the preemptive strike. I kind of want to wait and see if there's some rational like response to this because.
No!
Because I really like the principal and I really like the teacher. Like, I think they're really great. And so I think they're following some kind of protocol. And I want to make sure that I go in and like talk sense to them and say like, hey, are you sure this is something my daughter should be written up for?
this is one of those instances where I think you got to go in with guns blazing. There is no reasoning with this kind of, oh, we just want to make sure all of the everybody gets their equal share of the blame because we're social justice warriors. No, there are bad kids doing bad things, and they don't need to be using your child as a way to assuage their guilt for not watching this kid. This is wrong. If this is how it happened, unless your child typed in boob job or sex, this is wrong, and your child's getting the short end of the stick here.
Yeah, my husband was not happy, and not happy at all. He kind of pulled the Michael Pelka right away and wrote that. Mm-hmm. He had like a more scorching letter, and I'm like, you know, can we not go in quite like that? I wanted to go,
But scorching letters work. We saw this work yesterday. Did you see the letter written by the guy who was at the time the former chaplain of the House of Representatives? And by the time the letter got received by Paul Ryan and read, he was once again the chaplain. So scorching letters work. I'm all for a well-written scorching letter.
Well, he did have I wish you would let me proofread it, because he did have a capital after a comma, capital letter.
No!
Like, no, don't use uppercase after a comma.
Thank God we have a grand police person in your house.
Normally I police all of his emails and I proofread them, but I was too tired. Anyway, moving on. My poor husband, that poor man. Oh, my gosh. Long-suffering husband. All right. Roseanne Barr. I want to, and this isn't the biggest headline of the day. We mentioned the Hawaii lava rolling through the neighborhood, flowing through the neighborhood, which of course lowers the property values. But you know, this could be a very serious deal. Roseanne Barr is backing Kanye West. Do you know about this? But this specific backing isn't like that she was crazy and Kanye's been crazy. Like, they both have had incidents involving their mental health behavior. But this time she's supporting the rapper Kanye West's belief that Barack Obama did nothing to fix the city of Chicago's corrupted establishment. He said that a week or two ago. And the actress wrote on Twitter yesterday that Kanye was telling the truth when he said the city made no progress under Barack Obama's administration, which included Obama's once chief of staff, Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel. I would agree there. West said made the comment in a tweet last week, saying the city would be a better place if it weren't for the administration. Roseanne Barr wrote back saying the government needs to be more efficient and everyone needs to do something about Chicago. And President Trump once called Chicago a war zone, and people were all up in arms and upset about that. And it's like, well, a lot of people are dying there. It is very similar to a war zone. I mean, it's sad, the number of kids that are killed as well, and the number of shootings in general. Barr's comments follow Kanye's recent praise of Trump, who Barr also has, expressed support for. And she, without naming him, expresses support for the president in her show as well.
Yeah, this is somebody saying the truth. Someone looking at facts and honestly assessing those facts and sharing them. We can't sugarcoat it, especially with the number of deaths in my hometown, born and raised in Chicago. And I look up the stats because there's a website that tracks how many murders, how many shootings, how many stabbings, all the details about Chicago. And you can see it, and nothing is really being done, aside from the fact that they're making it harder and harder for good people to own a firearm. Chicago's one of the toughest places in the country to get a firearm, and yet people are getting shot every day. And it's nothing. They're doing nothing. Now, they're finally starting to do what Giuliani did when New York was averaging 5 murders a day. They're putting more police patrols out there. So that might help. And I'm sorry to bring up Giuliani, because he's going to just light a whole firestorm of news discussion today.
All right. I want to talk about, we can talk about that, the whole firestorm of news discussion, and also the White House press secretary, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, saying that President Trump eventually learned of the Cohen payment. And then also she mentioned something about Michelle Wolf, the comedian who just, you know, was skewering a lot of White House staff members at the big press dinner last weekend. She said she hopes she finds happiness because she basically seems like an unhappy person. I thought that was interesting because Sarah, I think, handles a lot of things quite well. She lets a lot of the vitriol that's aimed towards her kind of go. There's a sense of forgiveness about her, but she's all business too. I mean, she definitely can, she knows her way. She knows how to turn a phrase. I mean, I really like her.
I like her too, but I don't want to get in an argument with her ever, ever. But, you know, she's tone, like when somebody says something to you, she will stop, pause, give you the side eye, and then say, "Who hurt you?" And they just stare, and you're like frozen. She's really good at that. She's such, and you know, can you imagine her kids? They don't get out of line. I'm just saying, those Huckabee kids, they're probably well behaved.
Yeah, I have a feeling they are as well. In fact, I should send her to talk to the principal about that boy looking up inappropriate pictures. Yeah.
Yes!
Yeah. I'm going to give her a jingle and see if she can come to school with me today. All right. When we come back, let's talk about what Sarah had to say about that payment that Trump, you know, did eventually learn of.
If you are age 85 or younger, call to learn more about final expense plans from a licensed agent in the Angel Care Network. The average funeral now costs over $10,000. Are you at risk of leaving loved ones to help pay your debts? A final expense policy for seniors can pay up to $30,000 for funeral and other final expenses. You don't need a medical exam, and you can have lifetime coverage, and the policy cannot be canceled. To receive free information about final expense plans from a licensed agent in the Angel Care Network, call now. You'll also receive information about a free prescription discount card just for calling in. Agents are standing by.
Call 800-490-9309. 800-490-9309. 800-490-9309. Call right now. That's 800-490-9309.
Angie Austin, Mike Opelka here. Also, Susan Zirinsky, Senior Executive Producer, 48 Hours. Mike, was that not fascinating last week when they did the Golden State Killer story on 48 Hours? And we heard that DNA from a relative in one of those DNA, you know, website, you know, Dealey Bob's, helped catch him because they found basically a relative. That,
please,
isn't that crazy?
Enough with the scientific terms, medical Dealey Bobs. Please. Yeah, that was one of the best ones ever, Susan. Great job.
You know, what's happening now is the cops on the Zodiac Killer are beginning to run DNA tests through the Ancestor, not the Ancestry.com, but other sites. The difference in this example, the small company in Florida was what they call an open site. Ancestry, 23andMe, some of the bigger names, you must have a subpoena in order to look. And that will, and, you know, we haven't even felt the wave of privacy for people that have never been accused of a crime and searching in their databank. So, but the Zodiac Killer team is definitely into this routine.
Wow, fascinating. All right, so tell us what's up for this weekend show.
Well, this is a show that you think is kind of a, you kind of get it right away, and it's far from it. This time, a young wife calls 911 to say, "I've tried to commit suicide. My husband and child are in the car. Please help me. Please help me." Cops arrive. It's a bloody mess. The husband is pacing. He had called 911. The 911 operator is kind of shocked that he's not more disturbed. And as the paramedics are there, Tiffany Mead changes her story and says to one of the medical people in the ambulance, "Don't let him touch me. He did this to me. He did this to me." What then progresses is an incredibly complex case. Was it suicide? Did her husband try to do it? Or is she setting her husband up? Let's take a listen to the little clip and then we can talk more.
"My neck's bleeding. I need help quick."
"What happened?"
"I tried to commit suicide. Please help me."
Nearly midnight on July 23rd, 2013, Davis County Deputy Sheriff Jason Sorensen found 22-year-old Tiffany Mead in her car.
It was a really severe wound.
Tell me where it was.
It was straight across her neck, all the way across.
In the car seat was her 2-year-old son. Her estranged husband, Chris Ertman, was pacing the sidewalk.
He had no shirt on. I noticed he had blood all over his hands.
The blood all over the car was just, it was unbelievable. I'm looking at this and I'm like, there's no way that somebody's going to be able to survive this.
By the time lead detective Bob Thompson arrived, Tiffany had already been rushed to the hospital. But before she left, she changed her story, saying it was Ertman who attacked her.
Do you know whether it's an attempted suicide, an actual suicide, attempted murder, or a murder?
I have no idea.
Police detained and questioned Chris Ertman.
Was he concerned about his estranged wife?
No. He didn't ask once how she was doing, and he never asked where his child was.
And what's going through your head?
That he did this.
But proving that would be a whole different story.
Well,
okay, so here's the amazing thing. He is obviously arrested and charged, and he does get convicted of a very small crime. Tiffany Mead does survive. I do want to tell people so because so they don't think it's so graphic. But what happens next is the stuff of movies. You cannot believe, and one of the cops in this was just a hero. This did not, the accusation and the conviction of a very minor charge, I want to just say a very minor charge, was just the beginning of a tale of deceit and murder and attempted murder. So this is a crazy story, and you won't believe that somebody in prison can orchestrate a series of events that will blow your mind.
Whoa. I mean, and you know, she's meeting him at the time to get like a child support check, she thinks, from him. And then, okay, so I get it that then he says, you can call 911, but you can't say I did this to you. So, and that's a very unusual, as you know, Susan, way to commit suicide, to slash your throat when you've got your child and your estranged husband there with you. So she cuts her neck, allegedly. But then when she gets with the paramedics, then tells them the truth, which that makes sense to me, that when you call 911, you're certainly not going to, in front of him, tell the truth because he can kill you before help arrives, right?
Well, you know, this is absolutely the case. This really is a dramatic domestic suicide. When she got to the hospital, one of the emergency room doctors tells us her head was nearly cut off. Her head
oh
was
my
nearly
God.
Cut off. So
wow.
The only reason, and but here's the crazy thing, her larynx had not been cut, so she could talk. This woman drove while she was almost bleeding out. She could have bled out. It's very difficult for the law and for law enforcement to keep a case like this from escalating. It's very tough. This case was a he said, she said, but there are children involved. And, you know, how do you keep an abuser away when the couple has to see each other? This is what the law has as such a difficult thing when there is a case of domestic abuse. I think what's fascinating in this case is how far these deputy sheriffs and the prosecutors were willing to go to keep Tiffany Mead safe, because even in jail, she was not safe.
Wow. That's amazing. That's astounding. Okay. And that is which night, Susan?
Saturday.
This is Saturday night at 10 o'clock. It's a very dramatic show. And I'm very moved by the deputy sheriffs in this case. This woman, the deputy sheriff, goes above and beyond to keep Tiffany Mead alive, and she's right.
Wow. You know, when he pulled out the knife and, you know, was basically slitting her throat, he told her not to scream. And then when they made this agreement that she'd be able to call 911 if she would say that he didn't do it, there was some discussion about the sound that it was making, like a dripping sound.
Right.
And she, he said, what is that? And she said, it's the sound of me bleeding to death.
Oh,
well,
man.
You know, we say to her, what frightens you now? And she says, dripping water. Why? Because she recalls the sound of her blood dripping. When he allowed her to call 911, he said, tell me what I want to know. And she says, I love you. I'll go back with you. And he said, seal it with a kiss. So can you imagine? And plus, you've got a child in the car seeing all this. It's mind-boggling. I'm telling you, you couldn't sell this as a Hollywood script. Unbelievable.
He's diabolical, this guy. I mean, like, seal it with a kiss. I mean, this is this guy. I hope when I watch your show, because I like Satisfaction. That's what I like about 48 Hours. So you do the investigative journalism, and at the end, I like it when the bad guy or gal is in prison. So I hope in the end we see him do more than a little time for a small crime. And it blows my mind that you say that he was charged with something so inconsequential for this initially.
Absolutely. I mean, it's an anger-filled show for quite a while, but there is a conclusion, and it's bizarre how we get there. But a deputy sheriff, these two deputy sheriffs, they're the thing that law enforcement, why you really respect more than, yeah, there are a couple of bad apples in the world, just like in the human race. But these people, they are absolute heroes, and she remains close to them. Tiffany Mead does.
That's fantastic. And, you know, let's not forget the only reason Al Capone went to jail because of tax problems. So sometimes the baddest of people get caught on the littlest of crimes.
Well, let's just say it's not so little with what Ertman, her husband, her ex-husband tries to do. But it's the diabolical nature that some people can think that they can actually perpetrate additional crimes from prison. You know, but I'm telling you, if the deputy sheriffs hadn't been very obsessed with this case, they never would have learned what they learned, and Tiffany Mead would be dead. I'm telling you that as God be my judge. It's just, this is a diabolical plot that doesn't end with the first attack.
All right, Susan. And again, people can get in touch with you on social media before and after the program and interact with you in the correspondence as well. CBS 48 Hours, Susan Zirinsky, Senior Executive Producer. Thank you, Susan.
Thank you guys so much.
See you again.
Mike, these stories just blow me away. And that the fact that they get to follow them for so long as well.
And well, they do such a brilliant job on it. I wonder, I forgot to ask her. There was a house that blew up, a barn on a property in Connecticut that blew up while cops were there on a violent domestic violence call. And I wonder if they're covering this. This should be interesting. I'll bet you they do.
Wow. All right. Michael Pelka, Angie Austin, we sure do appreciate you choosing our program. We know you have a lot of choices, and we're just glad that you chose to listen to us.
We love you. We're sucking up to you. Yes, don't ever go away.
No,
don't
I love leave. Them more. I'm their favorite.
Yeah, probably.
It's the place where today's trending stories meet common sense and intelligent insight.
Kind of what I feel like is a pretty balanced perspective.
And a few laughs along the way.
I like knowing things.
This is the Angie Austin and Mike Opelka Show.
Hello, friend. Angie Austin, Mike Opelka, David of the Snack Bar to talk about the box office in just a few minutes. But we've got some of the big headlines of the day for you first. Hello, Mike.
Time out, please.
Yeah. Yes.
May I pay tribute to my friend and co-host, Angela Austin?
Yes, please do. I love that.
You are prescient. You are a genius. You predicted this.
What?
Yesterday, Tim Allen went to the Twitter and announced they heard all of your voices, people. Last Man Standing is going to be back, apparently.
Oh, you're the one that predicted it.
No,
you.
I thought you did. I thought you did.
No. See, that's the thing. When you get older and you kind of mix up your facts, we call it Newsheimers in the biz. And so you actually said, because we talked about Roseanne Barr, the success of her show, and you said maybe people will hear this and Tim Allen's show will come back, because I said Hollywood was thinking, wow, I said dollar signs are in my eyes, so I will be okay talking about this conservative thing. Like these people, we thought these people were like the black plague of our society, but if we could make money off of them, maybe we should have some of them on TV.
Newsheimers. I'm writing that down. Did you check the Urban Dictionary? You may have coined a word that we need to put in there. Newsheimers.
I love coining things. I like coins. All right. Some of the headlines. You ready?
I'm ready.
Thank you. Real quickly. White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders says President Trump did not mislead reporters when he said last month he didn't know about the hush money his personal attorney paid to Stormy Daniels. And they even call her a porn star here, which I guess, you know, that's what she is. And so now, you know, these guys make a lot of payments. So I actually, in this case, like a lot of times I'm like, really? But this guy probably puts out hundreds, if not millions of dollars, hundreds of thousands to millions of dollars on attorneys, tax attorneys, and that kind of attorney,
yeah,
money attorney. money. And you even made a good point about the fact that it wasn't this called extortion before? Like, hey, we had some SEX, and now that you're running for president, I'd like to tell people, unless you give me a little ha ha ha. And in her case, that normally ha 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 would be naughty, but she meant money.
Yeah, she got the money. And so it does seem like it's extortion, but now we're all talking about campaign finance laws and whether or not it was an in-kind contribution. And it's money, money, money. But I would not want to be Sarah Huckabee Sanders for all the money in the world today, because she's just going to keep getting told, well, were you lying to us then or are you lying to us now?
It's Jim Acosta. He's like the bane of her existence. Arizona schools are going to reopen. The teachers are getting a 20% pay increase over the next couple of years. And then the Academy, the organization puts on the Academy Awards, is expelling Bill Cosby and Oscar-winning director Roman Polanski. And so that would be a good time
Cosby gets convicted. Yes, they throw him out of the Motion Picture Academy of Arts and Sciences. And they said, you know, while we're at it, this guy 41 years ago, he drugged and raped a girl, statutory 13-year-old. Why don't we throw him out, too?
No,
took you 41 years.
No, 40. It was in 78. Right. So just 40.
Oh, my bad with the math. Decades to decide that Roman Polanski is not worthy of being in the Motion Picture Academy of Arts and Sciences. I'm going to sit over here and stew.
And convicted. All right, David at the snack bar joining us, speaking of the Hollywood types. All right, David, so what's hot this weekend at the box office? Welcome, friend.
Well, the hottest thing at the box office is going to be Avengers Infinity War. Again, it's going to take the box office. But there are a lot of movies opening and they're not getting as widely released. The first one is called Bad Samaritan. It's about a valet who has a clever idea to burglarize homes of the customers whose cars that he is parking. And unfortunately, in one of them, he breaks into the house and finds a woman being held captive. He doesn't want to call the police because then he'll go to jail for breaking and entering. So he leaves and then makes an anonymous phone call. The police get there. She's gone. And then he makes it his job to try and find out what happened, while the guy who was in the house makes it his job to try and stop him. So it stars David Tennant as the bad guy, which is kind of interesting, the former Doctor Who. So that one is okay. It's three bags of popcorn. And then we have Tully, where Charlize Theron plays a mother of three who just has a newborn and it's really frazzled. Her brother gives her a night nanny named Tully, and it kind of changes her life. Mark Duplass, Ron Livingston. It's good. It's not great, but it's written by the same woman who did Juno and directed by the same guy who directed Juno and Up in the Air. So three bags of popcorn there. And then finally, we have Overboard. This is a remake of the old Goldie Hawn, Kurt Russell movie, and it's not worth seeing at all. Overboard, one bag of popcorn, terrible movie. Go see Avengers again. That's your best bet this weekend.
Wow. Those were the fastest movie reviews ever. David at the snack bar, thank you so much. And Mike, some boy in elementary school showed my daughter a naughty picture, and now my daughter's getting written up in school. Seriously, we'll talk about it. I'm not kidding.